This is the If More, Less Divide podcast.
Charlie, guys, what's happening? Welcome to the If More, Let's Divide podcast. Charlie Fred, how are you feeling?
Chilling, bro. Chilling.
Wow. Chilling, I think season 6 ended fast.
Yeah.
Because I remember Samini.
Yeah.
And then now 12 solid weeks.
Yep.
That's crazy. How do you feel?
I think it's been, an improvement on all the goals we set. I'm excited about what we come up with.
And for me, when a season is about to end, I go like, are we going to be able to do another season?
Oh, yeah.
But I'm like, this is for the passion. Like, I'm seeing it as something that, and I do love recording, right?
Yeah.
Love co-hosting with you and everything. So I'm like, it is fun. Like, we get to meet people, we get to enter heads and all that. So, chat guys, we thank you for rocking with us throughout the season 6. About to, start working on season 7. We are not stopping. And from this conversation, you just know, Charlie, if it's something we know go stop. Until, Charlie, we grow old and weak. But, Charlie, even that one stuff, we go pass them on to the next, generation.
You know it.
Yeah. And also, shouts to Atunwa Digital for powering season 6. Shouts to Mark Mason and his team. We appreciate you guys, Charlie. For this final season, we are about to crown it with what you guys love, what every human being, is into. If you talk, say, day into this thing, then that means, why are you still here, Charlie? We're about to dish you wholesome meals, Charlie. Yeah, and I'm not a chef, even though I cook. I am a fan of cooking. Like, Fred knows, about this.
Yeah.
I cook a lot. Fred doesn't cook a lot. Yeah, but maybe after this episode, you might. Davida. Charlie, guys, our guest is someone I have admired from afar. She is related to my co-host, right?
Yeah.
Real, in a way.
Real blood. No, this is in a way.
Oh, okay. and when Fred told me that they are related, I'm like, wow. When I started, I'm like, let me start cooking. I chanced on her YouTube page. Okay. And I'm like, who's behind this? The voice.
Wow.
Right? I'm like, who is behind this? Never ever saw her. Until I think an Instagram post or something. I'm like, hey, is this Sweet Ajele? So yeah, now ladies and gentlemen, we have Sweet Ajele in the house.
Buyaka, buyaka, buyaka. Nice.
Madam Sweet Ajele. Finally, I get to meet you. Mm. The first time Fred told me that you guys were related, I'm like, oh, are you based here? Like, and he's like, nah, you are not based here. You are based in the States. Mm, how is the state treating you?
It's treating. What can we say?
Yeah.
So, Fred came a few years ago, and I wish I could do the same. Mm. But, with the kids, I have to wait for a little bit, but finally, I'll come. The roads are just my problem. The States, it's not all bad, but it's not all that.
Yeah,
that's what I'll say.
Yeah, cool.
It's a place I feel everybody needs to go, because when you say it's not all that, then they'll say, why are you there?
Yeah.
For me, I've never liked it. I just got stuck because of my kids, because my kids don't like it here too. Mm. So as a mom, I have to choose the right way. So
But would you say for your kids, how many kids do you have?
Three.
So would you say the life there is better for them? Or because usually, right, what I hear is people give birth there and then ship them to Ghana for, a relative or an uncle or, an auntie to take care of,
It will never be me.
Mm.
It wasn't me. My eldest is 22.
Oh, wow.
And my youngest will be 15 next month.
What?
Yeah.
So I did it. I don't understand the shipping. Thank God I didn't do it. Like I said, it wasn't me and it will never be me.
Mm-hmm. How are you related to my co-host?
We have the same great grandparents.
Oh, wow.
So we're like related. Mm-hmm. His grandpa is my grandpa's elder brother.
Oh, okay.
So.
Oh, okay. So it's like blood, like from.
Blood.
Nice. And we went to the same school. We went to, you know, St. Martin de Porres. Then we lost touch for a long time. And, you know, when he moved, even before he moved, we were connecting on Twitter, social media and all that. Then he moved to Ghana. And, yeah, we
reconnected.
Yeah. And it's good you're here because it's something that he doesn't do. Cook. Fred is, and no, wait, I've been trying to let him understand that the meals we eat outside is not all that good for us.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's better if you know what you are putting in your food,
mm-hmm.
right? Can you find a way to twist his brain for him to start at least making his own meals? How do you like lure someone into the kitchen to cook for themselves because of the health benefits?
You know, I don't want to cook anymore. So I really, you know, if he can get somebody to cook for you at home, you don't have to cook. But we girls, we kind of like it when a man cooks for us every now and then.
So I can cook, but I just don't do it a lot.
Oh, so you can do it.
Yeah, but now I've started. So I've been on a diet for about 3 weeks now. And I've been making my own meals in the morning.
Yeah.
And then in the afternoon, I'm just doing mostly protein stuff. So I grill it. But I can cook. Right now, my excuse is I don't have time, but I should make time because my health is more important than anything else. So I'm with him. I understand. But the last time I made her cook for me, I felt so bad because I took her to the market and we're running up and down in La Market. And she was joyfully doing it for me, obviously. It wasn't like, but I'm like, man, I put her through a lot just to make these dishes. And on top, my sister took the majority of the food they gave her. Yeah, that pissed me off. It was good.
Dope. So, do you usually come to visit?
Lately, I've been coming a lot.
Mm.
Well, I would say, since becoming Sweet Ajili, I've been to Ghana a lot more. Before, my husband and I will come every year, but I've been here like twice a year.
Oh, nice.
Mm-hmm. Mm. But this is my first time actually coming to Ghana around this time, and I'm really happy because I love mangoes, and mangoes are in season right now. And the reason why I'm unable to come around this time of year is because the kids are in school. But now two of them in boarding school. Gideon is actually graduating.
Yeah, I saw you on FaceTime with him. Mm-hmm. That was really cool. Shout out Gideon.
So once he's done and he's working, I feel I can be able to come to Ghana a lot more because I'll have an adult in the house. So we're here now because of Auntie.
Yeah.
And Gideon is in school boarding. Momo is in school boarding. And my 14-year-old is in the house by himself.
Wow.
And so things happen in our lives to help us know where our kids are. And for him to, it's been like, I'll say, is it 10 days? Probably 10 days now. He's been home by himself.
That's dope.
Yes. Actually, Mark went to get him because he wasn't feeling well. But he was home. First, it was the spring break for him. And then he got up and went to school by himself and came home every day until Mark got there. So it's good that it happened because if not, I wouldn't know that he'll be able to do it. So this is preparing me to know that if I want to come home in the next 5 years, he's good.
Yeah.
But at the same time, Gideon coming home helps a lot because there will be an adult home.
Yeah.
at all times.
Yeah, that's dope. Shouts to Gideon. You know, it's I can't wait for my firstborn child to be able to take care of themselves. So, you know, we can have the time to do. On YouTube, anytime I Google a method or a recipe, especially if it's a Ghanaian dish, you are first.
Oh, thank God.
The only time that you weren't first was just one time.
Mm.
One time. But even with that, was it Dawa Dawa Jollof?
I don't have that recipe.
Yeah, yes. Dawa Dawa Jollof. That's it. So you see, I'm not telling lies.
Mm-hmm.
That's the only time your...
I didn't pop up.
Yeah. But I remember the first search that I made, okra stew. And you popped down like, ah, who is this? Nice voice, you know. Like, your voice is on point with what you are doing.
Oh, my voice
is... It is. Trust me, calm, collected, but so clear. Okay. I've been checking your page almost every single time when I'm confused about, you know, so I know what I'm saying. How did you start this?
I want to stop talking on my videos.
No, we beg.
She mentioned that at lunch a couple of days ago. Actually.
It's a lot of work, and I see other people doing great without talking.
No, please. Your voice is a plus.
Yes, whenever I don't talk, I get attacked. So you I'm see? In trouble. Hey, mini Sunny. Okay, so back to the question. I was a stay-at-home mom for nearly 10 years. And once the kids went to school, I became bored. My anxieties set in because when I put them on the bus, I'm not free until they get back home.
Yeah.
So I was becoming too anxious and I needed to do something about it. And, you know, I went to the New York restaurant school and a whole chef, I'm just sitting at home waiting for my kids to come home. And then I, Boatma actually told me about YouTube about 2 years before I started because whenever anybody needed a recipe, they would ask me.
Call you.
And I would text it to them. So Watsma said, actually, why don't you put these things on YouTube so that when somebody needs a recipe, you can just send them the link instead of always typing or trying to remember who I sent this recipe to last
so I can copy and paste. Yeah.
So I went on, and I'm very shy. Mm. So I was watching. I said, hey, Ajile, can you do this? And then I saw that people were using their hands. You can't see them.
Yeah.
I said, I can hide behind the cameras and do this. But I kept watching and learning. And so my very first video was actually of my daughter making plantain chips.
Mm.
So that's how it all started. Wow. And then I started hiding. I don't know anything about editing. Everything I've done, to me, it's grace. Because I don't have any of these things you guys have here. Which maybe if I do have it, it'll help. But my husband bought me a camera. I've never used it because I'm like, how do I use this? And then transfer it onto a computer or a tablet.
Then edit.
So, yeah, I might as well use my phone. Yeah, so that's what I've been
doing. So you've been using your phone?
Yes.
But the quality is on point.
Is it really?
Yeah, it's on point. I mean, I see it and I hear it. You know, sometimes I think we make a big deal on cleanliness, how clean the, you know, video should look and all that. But once you are passing on the information, I think, that's you funny. Know, yeah.
Yeah. Hi, Kaz.
What's up?
I'm so glad you're here. I didn't realize, I didn't even know the story, how it started with Watsma and all of that.
Yes.
So I want to ask you about something else.
Mm-hmm.
Did you ever think, from the way we grew up, that you'd be doing this? Like, when you contrast the upbringing to what you're doing now and the position that it's put you in,
mm-hmm.
what are your thoughts?
So, you know, in school, they have this who is likely to be this or that.
Yeah.
I'm not a public speaker. I would not answer questions in class. I will not speak. In fact, I was very lazy in speaking. You won't catch me. I'd rather sing than speak. So a few years ago, our English teacher from Bema Camp said, "Maclina, so you are sweet Ajele. You, who doesn't talk? I won't talk." So I felt like the teachers actually picked on me. If I have not raised my hand, why are you calling me? But they will call me.
Yeah.
You know, so I was very shy, very quiet. I'm not the one to be sweet Ajele where I am today. You know, Mark is always so proud of me. He always thinks I speak better English than everybody and I'm smarter and but I learn from all of you. You, Yvonne, Boatma, Mark, I'm always learning. And I do the same with food.
Mm.
You know, so, and when I speak, I have to think before I speak because I don't want to say anything wrong. You know, I feel like my cousins, my brother especially, sets the bar very high.
Yeah, I mean, being a doctor is a bar.
Yes.
Mm. A huge bar.
Yes. Yeah.
So Mark, for context, Mark is Ajile's older brother, but he's my older cousin, and he's a doctor in the U.S. and here as well. So, I don't call him and ask him about anything health-related because I think I'm going to die the next day. He will give you, he doesn't scare details. You, but he'll give you the details of the information. So Krukria is going through as same as we have to invite him. We have to meet him.
So before my question, right? I do understand that your brother sets the bar high.
And Yvonne
set the bar high. What do you mean by that?
Well, my brother's a doctor. My cousin is a lawyer. How high can you go?
No, but I feel you are also known worldwide now, right? It will be cool if they set the pace for you to follow, but I think for me personally,
she set the standard.
Yeah, you guys are on the same. I'm sure people know you more than any of them.
Yeah,
you are a superstar.
Thank you.
No, Alfred, what are you talking about?
Yeah.
You know.
So, with that being true, right? Yvonne and Mark.
Shout out to Yvonne.
Yes, they're both older than me.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
So I've always looked up to them.
Mm.
Mm. And no matter what I need, Mark got me. Yvonne got me.
Yeah.
And you know, your cousins, right? But you don't think you'll be friends.
Yeah.
You know, but Yvonne and I were friends.
Mm.
When I have an issue, I'm calling her, I'm crying on Yvonne. You know, and vice versa. We pray together, we cry together. But the fact that I got to a certain level doesn't make me feel higher.
Definitely.
So I still learn a lot from them.
Yeah,
half of the time when I'm with them, they will use, including Fred, they will use a word that I'm Googling. And they don't know that I'm Googling.
Guy. Fuck that guy.
All
that
of them.
I mean.
The pressure, Pressure. Yeah.
Fred, I think sometimes intentionally, you know, let me just show them brains more.
They don't.
Too. I know big words too, but I would never use big words.
But you would think it's a show off.
But
Yvonne, Fred. When they're talking, and they use, like the other day, we were talking about how people tend to use us in Ghana. And Yvonne says, "I'm so jaded."
Yeah.
So I'm like, okay, this is my first time hearing this word, but I'm not going to let everybody know that this is my first time. So let me quietly Google it so that tomorrow when somebody says jaded,
you say, yes, I know what you
mean. These are the people I'm dealing with.
Nice.
And I love them. I respect them. They don't know. See, today I'm spilling it all. But yeah, I told Mark the other day, I said, Mark is like, you're like a public speaker. Well, look at the people I'm surrounded by. I have no choice. You think if I didn't have them, they don't know. And sometimes it's good they don't know. But it's also good that I'm letting them know today that I learn a lot from them.
I didn't know that. You inspire me a lot too. So just so you know, I'm like, how does she do it? Yeah. From back in Jersey, I always used to wonder, I'm like, because she has a very, it's her story to tell, but one day, like, the way they came up and everything that they've achieved from how they came up is always interesting to me.
Yeah. So. And for me personally, I think that, I mean, it's good that you are saying this now. I think that for me, I see you climbing up very soon. No, I see it, right? But like with the right, you know, investor, Sweet Ajelik would be a show, easily, cooking show. Because your presentation is different, trust me. I've been on several, you know, we say you day here, that's why I talk. So I've been on several, I cook a lot, like he will tell you, you know.
And very health conscious.
Yeah, I cook a lot and you are one, like I said earlier, and I see someone tapping into your skill. And I'm seeing stages and platforms. So it's good that you have all of these things. Oh, sorry, I said that. It's good that you have all of these people around you.
Oh, yes.
Who inspire you, you know, who let you go on your phone to Google words.
Oh,
you
know, every single time I'm around them.
So you said at the beginning, you said you went to school, you know, a cooking school or, you know. When did you start cooking and why did you decide to enter a cooking school?
So, I started cooking right from childhood, maybe about 10 years old. My auntie Odokoda raised us pretty much, taught me how to cook. And then later on in the years, Satele, she always had a house help, but we took turns in cooking. It wasn't the house help did everything. I've always been that skinny girl, like so skinny. This is the fattest I've gotten. And our family traveled a lot. So we're at the airport a lot. And back then, air hostess, now flight attendants, they were always so skinny. So
And so sexy.
Very. So that's what I wanted to be. So also, when they will have like the engagements, the funerals, when they're making the medan, the chips and stuff, whoever is in the kitchen helping gets the most treats. And I loved Sweetie Tintin. So
you usually say that on your show. Sweetie Tintin. I'm like, that's an old term.
It's very old. If you know, you know. So I would be there just so I can have the chips and all the donuts and stuff. So I always wanted to learn how to make pastries. And then when we were finishing up with JSS, now JHS, to become a flight attendant, you needed to take up home economics. So in school, a lot of people think you're in home economics because you failed. But some of us, we didn't fail. Yeah. You know, we had distinction. But that was the
path to,
to become a flight attendant. So I took up home economics into my secondary school. But I left Ghana the first term of Form 2. So I didn't really learn much from there. But once I got to the U.S., I realized with a high school diploma, you can become a flight attendant. You just have to take their course. But I still wanted to continue the cooking. So I went to, in high school, I ended up taking up dental assisting.
Oh, wow.
But after high school, I still decided to go to the restaurant school. So I did that. I didn't need that now to become a flight attendant. Yeah. So during my internship after restaurant school, I got burnt in the kitchen. And so I went through the therapy and everything. I was out of the big kitchen for about 2 months. And so they switched kitchens for me. I went to a different restaurant. But I realized, I didn't realize actually that I had developed PTSD. So any little sound made me nervous. So I quit. I wanted to come to Ghana, but my boss wouldn't give me the time off, so I quit to come to Ghana. So I left Ghana I left the U.S. September 9th. I got to Ghana September 10th, and then September 11th happened.
Oh, wow.
Yes. So by the time that happened, going back, I didn't care to get on the plane again. So the flight attendant dream died with September 11th.
Wow.
Because a lot happened. I worked in the World Financial Center, a restaurant in the World Financial Center.
Wow.
So I would go through the train. I'll come off at the World Trade Center.
World Trade Center, yeah.
And then I'll come up the escalators and then walk across to the World Financial Center. And all the whole place was in ruins.
Yeah.
And I worked there, and I would have been there. So a lot of things came together to say, look, I don't want to be in the kitchen anymore. So I went back to school and I took up medical assisting. And then I started working with that. And then got married, then had children. And then I was a stay-at-home mom because it was more cost effective for me to stay home than to put these kids in school and then use my salary to pay for daycare. It was like $500 a week for each child. And I had two. Wow. So, you know, it was better for me to stay home. And so I did that, which helped my kids a lot. You know, so once they went to school and then all of it started.
Wow.
Man, it's sometimes you think, you know, you take things for granted because you're family. I know the story, but now that you're telling it and I'm listening,
It's becoming real.
Yeah, and it's even things that I didn't realize about you, but that's the level of resilience that I think has made you who you are. I wonder what you think about the actual idea of being a chef and, you know, its impact on your life and then life of the people around you. Like, what do you think about the profession itself?
So, a few months ago, I was asking Gabe what he wanted to be. And he said he wanted to be a chef. You would think I'll be happy about that. I said, It's very hard. Being a chef is one of the toughest jobs because, well, in Ghana, they sit a lot, the catering people, and they also, if you become big, you sit and instruct people. But in the U.S., you're standing for 8 hours.
Wow.
Back, 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 back. The orders are coming in. It's like you're doing it without thinking, and you get so tired.
Yeah.
So being a chef, it's beautiful. We've made it look so beautiful, especially on social media.
Yeah.
But it's hard work. So if you're lazy, you can't be a chef. And growing up, I was told I was lazy a lot. But as an adult, I realized it may have been true, but I don't think we should tell our children that. Because, no. I don't want any of my kids, my nieces, my nephews to be chefs. No.
Really?
No, it's not easy.
Even if they are going to double or triple what you are doing now, take it to the next level?
I mean, if they can. If they can, why not? But right now with social media, you don't even have to go to school to become a chef. You can watch it, you know.
Yeah.
So if they want to do that, go to school and do something else and then play around with this. Everybody can cook.
Wow.
Or anybody can cook.
Well, anybody can cook, but do you, okay, so maybe I guess I'm asking, do you think the role of a chef is important in society? Like, do we need chefs?
I mean, we do. No matter what, we have to eat. But from the way I was brought up, and then during my internship, I realized that I've paid all this money to go to restaurant school, but the restaurants actually picks people off the street, and they start off as dishwashers. And then the next thing you know, they're flipping burgers. The next thing you know, they're at the pizza station. They're making the entrees. They're making the desserts. And then they're sous chefs, and then executive chefs.
Yeah.
So I felt cheated. I went to school for it, but somebody came off the street and was the same level.
Cool. So it's good that you mentioned like people picking people off the street and all that. Right now, with the world in our palms, with social media in our palms, you know, people are becoming overnight superstars, and all that. Some don't even have training for what they are doing, and you know, they are becoming so huge. You are vlogging in a way, and you have so many followers. I know a couple of we had Josephine T on this podcast, and he mentioned your name. He said you are one of the pages. Sweet Ajili, like it said, you can check it out. He mentioned your name and all that. You are vlogging. You are even you have your own podcast, right? You, I know you have plans for this, right? But anytime I'm on your page, the person that comes to mind is Anthony Bourdain.
Oh.
May he rest in peace. And you are known for cooking Ghanaian meals. Will there be a time where you will go across, you know, the borders to cook maybe a Chinese meal, a Senegalese meal? Is it something that you want to do, or you are just focusing on your homeland?
So it's something I would love to do. I don't like flying. And roads in Africa, like, it makes me nervous.
But it's fun. So trust me, the adventure is fun.
This morning, I took my phone. I said, let me make a quick TikTok. So that song, there's a new song, it's say, oh, na, na, eh, 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 eh. So I come, the moment I turn it on, I shake like this.
Yeah.
We just entered a pothole.
Yeah.
Just when I took my, so I said, initially, it confused me to where I wasn't even singing the song right. But I said, I'm posting it anyway. Because I'm going to caption it. Ghana pothole will confuse you.
Yeah, wow.
You know?
Yeah.
So, but that's something that I would love to do. But I have to have the right team with me. You know, I used to watch that man, and he was amazing. And that goes to show you, look how big this man was.
Yeah.
Didn't make him happy.
Yeah. Well, yeah, true.
You know?
True.
So I can try. It'll be beautiful, and I think it'll be something that a lot of people would watch.
Yeah.
You know,
I would watch.
Yes.
Yeah, Sweet Ajili in Senegal or Kenya.
Yes, yeah. I would really love to do that. You know, but being a mom, men can just get up and go.
Yeah.
Being a mom sometimes stops you, but I'm retiring very soon as a mom.
It's actually something that I see, you know.
Then it'll happen.
Yeah, it should. So, what is your take on street food in Ghana?
Yeah, I love it too.
And do you have spots where you being in Ghana now, do you have spots, some corner watching that you go to?
There's a corner in Osu that we love the young ladies watching.
Why?
It's good. I feel like, especially something like Kenke, has been messed up. Because really? If you don't get the right spot to get your Kenke, Kenke is black.
Yeah.
I know Kenke is supposed to be sour, but but the Agblikaklo, the Togbay, and talking about Agblikaklo, I haven't had that. The one thing I try to have every single day when I'm in Ghana is roasted corn. Because no matter how we roast corn in the U.S., we don't get... Yes. So that's what I enjoy. But again, growing up in Ghana, when Rawlings was in power, the streets were safer. The streets, the roads were good. Now you'll be driving, somebody just cuts in front of you. And it shoots my pressure up. So I'd rather stay home and say, go and buy me this watch or do this for me. So how do you come to Ghana and enjoy yourself in your house?
I'm going to ask you so many food questions just for my own. So there is this argument when it comes to watching. They are saying the only what makes watch better is a shitter.
That's it.
How really?
Bam. Well, you can also cook watche. You know, I'm able to, when my watche is ready, I'm taking it and eating it on its own. That's because if you put watche is a very simple recipe.
I've never tried watche.
Watche is very, very simple, but I've seen people adding like Maggi and stuff in watche. It's not needed. It's look, all you need is the local coconut oil inside your watche. That's it. So you can eat it on its own, but you can eat watche with stew alone.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
You can eat watche with shito alone.
That's true.
So if that shito is good and it has that local coconut oil inside it, you don't need anything else. You don't need the gari, the talia, whatever. Just those two.
Wow.
So Fred,
do you agree?
Watche.
The shito, that's what creates the difference. That's why people say this watche is better than this. Is the shito.
But don't you guys think like the texture of the
watche too
to matters? Like, cause for me, sometimes when the watche is too sticky and stuff, or the rice feels like
you don't like your watche sticky. You like a one-one, nah?
No, not the one-one. There's a sticky, but there's also another one that's like banku.
Like, that one is too.
It's like it's too wet, right? I like the one that's like you can. But let me ask you guys this, because I've always wanted. How true is it that watche is healthier than just eating white rice?
Oh, because the beans is protein.
Okay. So it makes it healthier.
Yeah.
Is it less carbs though?
Yes. Because say you eat the same amount of rice as you eat watche, it will be half.
Understood.
You know, half and half. But this one will be the whole thing. So
I think from what I know, you had some, and Mutombo and I can relate to this, but you had some conversations around how responsive the Ghanaian audience are like online and how it impacts like your work and what it takes to do what you do. Because I think in the conversation you've mentioned a couple of times how you even want to stop talking and you don't want to do it as much anymore. So I want you to like maybe tell a bit about what it takes to record. You know, Mutombo said he finds you, the recipe, but behind the scenes, what kind of work goes into those YouTube presentations, you know, being able to put the recipe together, recording all of that stuff, what that entails for you?
So especially for those of us in the diaspora, I think people in Ghana that are doing food content, they're doing good because most of them have a team. Even if it's not a professional team, they have family members that are willing to come and cut the tomatoes for you. Mm. They're willing to come and wash the dishes for you. Mm. But for us, well, let me speak on me. In the U.S., I do it all. I cook, I clean, I film, I edit, I engage.
Wow.
So when doing all of this by yourself and then you put it out there and it's not moving, and it's really not the people's fault, it's the algorithm, right? But the algorithm also works on the first few people that watch the video. I was saying that it's always a fight between Ghana and Nigeria, right? But Nigerians, they know what they're doing.
Mm.
They understand the duty is to put Nigeria on top. So that engagement that you see underneath a post from a Nigerian,
mm-hmm.
We can never compete with them because it's way more of them than us.
Than us, yeah.
Mm-hmm. But the Ghanaians that are watching you, they're not sharing.
Hmm.
They're not commenting.
Yeah.
They're not liking.
Mm.
So you can have, they don't understand. I'm not blaming or faulting them. That's because they don't understand the assignment. The assignment is to put Ghana on the map.
Yeah.
That's what social media is all about. So what I see Ghanaians doing is rather sharing a lot of negativity. So I post a video of me crying, and it had a lot of engagement. I would say 30% of that were insults. So
wow.
That video goes far because everybody is coming on with a negative comment.
Yeah.
Not everybody. Because I actually had people in there fighting for me. Mm. And I had people in there praying. And I must say that post helped me a lot. Because losing my auntie, I was crying a lot. I was making donuts. And the thought of making these donuts for people coming to my auntie's funeral was making me cry. I put the camera in front of me. I just wanted to talk to them, to tell them, pray for me this evening, because it was the wake. I turned the camera on and tears. So I said, you know what? They've seen all the good stuff. Let me let them see me as human. Oh my gosh. And when you post a video, especially on Facebook, automatically it pops up for them to give you stars, to share, comment and stuff. People were even insulting me for that. They said she's crying, but she had the time. She had the audacity to put this here that we should subscribe.
People are mean. Like,
my God.
Vile. Like, it's serious. So social media, yes. So that's why I have checked out.
Yes.
Now I don't even engage.
Yes.
You don't get me.
So now there are people that watch me on TikTok that are not on Facebook, and then on Facebook that are not on YouTube. So I shared this post on all my platforms, and I have made up my mind. I'm not taking it off because it reminds me every day of some of the people that follow you, that claim to love you, but are not there for you. It was rather, I had Americans, foreigners, saying that for her to put the camera on and cry is bravery.
Mm. And it wasn't even your intention to cry on camera.
Mm-mm.
It just happened.
It happened. And I wanted them to see, but they saw it as click.
Sure.
And then let me just let the tears flow.
Mm-hmm.
Yo,
and
sorry.
And so, social media.
Are there moments that you feel that you want to stop this because of some of these things?
The comments I've learned, 8 years of doing this, I would, if the comments were going to kill me, I would have been gone already, right? So I don't really bother with the comments, but it shows me that human beings do not care about you.
Exactly.
You know? Exactly. Yeah. So what I'm saying is, when it comes to social media, African countries, we are all swimming in this big ocean that they've given to us freely.
Yeah.
So if you see a Ghanaian content that is doing well, like, comment, and share. If you don't have anything to say, leave me two heart emojis.
Just support.
Because it tells the algorithm that you like this. And the people that hurt me the most, I was telling Fred, are the people, the family. They'll see the content, they'll like it and move on. That hurts you. Then don't like at all. Just keep scrolling. Because when you see it, let me like it for Ajili. What happens is, it tells the algorithm that this is a fake person. Or maybe it's even me, myself, that have created other...
bot pay pages,
So just come and like my stuff. So even if you don't have time to watch it, put your phone down, let it run.
Yeah.
Once you touch it, let it run.
Yeah.
But if you don't do that, the algorithm keep pushing you back. And so my views dropped. But funny enough, like you said, whenever you search, I still come up.
Yeah.
So that's a blessing. That's a very good blessing.
Dope, dope. Should I go?
Yeah.
So you said you are cooking, you are filming, you are editing, you are posting, you are engaging and all that. And you've been doing this for over 8 years?
No.
Getting like almost eight years. Will there be a time where you will, would there be a time when you go like, I need a team?
It's now. I actually reached out to one of the younger chefs coming up, Chef Abby, and I said, I need your team, because what I intend doing is, whenever I'm in Ghana, I'm going to film every day, maybe 2 to 3 recipes a day with a team. And then I'm going to leave it to them to edit.
I am here.
Part of his full time.
It's
because
my thing.
I can't do it anymore.
Yeah.
And some of, you see, I have followers or sweet team members that loves me so much. When I don't post, they come looking for me.
Yeah.
And there are other people posting. So it makes me happy that you all come looking for me. But it's getting to a point where I'm like, let me just give the recipe. I don't want to say anything. Because if you're following other people that are not saying anything and you're still doing okay with it, then I don't have... Because there are people, too, that will come and say, you talk too much. Yeah. Just get to the recipe. And then when I don't talk, why are you not talking? So me, they are yo-yoing with me. So that's what I need. I already have somebody... That would be my kitchen assistant.
Nice.
So I just need somebody to film me and then edit it for me.
Do you know something? I would throw this at you, and this is for free. I don't even need money for it.
Aww.
You can film and send it all over to me, and I'll edit and send it back to me. I've been doing that for folks. Yeah, because you are dope. I mean, auntie, but that isn't no pressure. That's you. If you want, you know.
The thing is, I wouldn't even know how to send it to you, because I learned as you send, the quality drops.
No. But there are ways. There are ways. Yeah, there are some simple ways.
Okay. Tobin knows what he's talking about.
Yeah. There are simple ways. So, in the kitchen, well, I lived with my grandmother and my mother. And I know that everybody who cooks have that one thing that they should always be in the kitchen. It could be a spice, it could be whatever, you know, a kitchen utensil or something. What's one thing can't you do without?
In the kitchen.
In the kitchen.
My knife.
Your knife. Your knife. Yeah, it has to be. Yeah. Do you have a special like a Santoku knife?
So the chef's knife.
Yeah, okay.
I fell in love with knife skills when I went to restaurant school. Mm. And I keep telling my sweet team members, we're going to have a class on knife skills. And then I never do. But I think if you have the right knife skills, it makes cooking happen quickly. Because my brother would always want me to cut his okra. Because what would take him an hour would take me literally 10 to 15 minutes. I'm done. You know, so having a good sharp knife, I cannot do without that. Like when I'm coming to cook and my knife is dull, it bothers me. Mm. It drives me nuts because a sharp knife is actually safer than a dull knife. Mm. So a good sharp knife is what I need. No, I can't do without.
Okay. How about spice?
Ingredients.
Yeah, ingredients.
I love ginger.
Same. I like ginger and garlic.
Garlic. Yeah. Yes. Growing up, however, in our house, we didn't use a lot of garlic. Mm. So some people are like, sweet Ajeli, you use just 3 cloves of garlic and stuff. I don't want to cook and you eat and all you taste is garlic. I want you to taste that garlic flavor without tasting it. Mm. So ginger is my everything, followed by onion.
That's true.
Because onion, it's so sweet. People don't understand how sweet onion is. So at times when somebody is cooking and using a lot of onions, well, of course, social media judges will be there judging you. But onions make everything so sweet.
Mutombo is bringing out these points. Knife, I don't even think about that, to be honest. And then the one thing that has to go in my... So I'm like a bit of a freestyler when it comes to how I make my food. But I've come to love onions. I used to hate onions. Now red onions are my thing. Mm. Because we're in the kitchen, what tip would you give someone like myself to say, these particular ingredients are multi-purpose where you can use them for multiple dishes and they're easy to make.
Okay. Quick. So, I don't know if you've seen my spice blend. So, I have this spice blend cubes that I make. Okay. I know with Dumso in Ghana, it's kind of hard for people to make because, of course, it's fresh. And in that, the most important ingredients in there for me, onion, ginger, garlic, anise seed. If you can, because mine has other spices in it. Like I have rosemary.
Yeah.
So if you can get rosemary, fine. Calabash nutmeg, perfect. So if you can get all of these spices and blend together, make your spice blend cubes. With you guys, because of Dumso, you may have to portion it into those bags and tie it, and cut it up. So you just take one for your meals.
Yeah.
And, I mean, it adds an amazing flavor. So you can make stew, right? Mm. So I have my natural spice mix. When my stew is almost done, when it's 5 minutes to the time, to turn the fire off, I sprinkle a little bit, and you'll be tasting that, that special joint stew with rice that you can't quite get.
Yeah.
These are the little things that we don't know. You may start with the spice. By the time the food is ready, the flavor dies down.
Yeah.
But when you put it towards the end, like curry powder, the ground anise, a little rosemary, even if you don't have calabash nutmeg, a little actual nutmeg towards the end. And it gives you that flavor that everybody will come to your house and I cooked tomato stew. How come this one doesn't take to metowi like mine.
Yeah. It's like you were just reading my thoughts. Mm-hmm. And this was going to be my next question, because quite recently, okay, so I went to Tamale and I brought Dawa Dawa. I love Dawa Dawa. Mm. You know, it's one of my favorite, you know, spices to use. And I like Dawa Dawa jollof, but I realized that I put in the Dawa Dawa so early. At the end, there is no Dawa Dawa. But just 2 weeks ago, literally 2 or 3 weeks ago, I'm like, okay, let me add some Dawa Dawa in the stew.
Mm-hmm.
And when I put the rice, getting to the end, I'll add, the best.
Mm-hmm.
Really? The best. Now, my question to you is, because you said you started cooking at 10, I'm sure your mother or your grandmother, mm-hmm, or someone, you know, started with them. Are you still bent on what you were taught? Or along the way, you have found or realized other pathways to achieve something better or the same thing?
I have found better pathways. No offense, my people that taught me how to cook. So, for instance, groundnut soup.
Yes, now better. Yeah.
The way we fry and it's jumping all over the place. Mm-hmm. Being in the U.S., I decided I'm not frying again. You know, I'm just going to pour it on my meat, add my tomatoes, onions, and everything, and make my groundnut soup. So my very first groundnut soup recipe, come and see the insult. Go back to the kitchen. You don't know how to cook. This is not how you make groundnut soup. Why didn't you fry the groundnuts? Why didn't you do this? You're supposed to put tomatoes in it and fry it until oil comes on it, and then it's ready. I said, first of all, the groundnuts that we're using, it's already cooked.
You can
put it in bread and eat it.
Yeah.
Secondly, the more you cook it, then you lose the peanut flavor.
And the nutrients, and even the nutrients.
So I just left my video there. It's one of my most watched videos. And some of the people that were insulting came back to testify. So I rested my case.
Wow.
You know, so you can change it up.
Yeah. Also, before Fred comes in, it's something that I haven't paid attention, because I've tried it several times. The order that I put in stuff, you know, sometimes I change it. But apparently, the order that you put in stuff would also determine the taste. I haven't really paid attention. Is that true?
It can be true and it can be false. Mm. Because I've made stews where I've put my onion, tomatoes, everything, oil, and cooked it. And it came out so good. The reason why the order... If you pay attention, for Ghanaians, the onion is always first. That is because we Ghanaians, even though we use the seasonings like the Maggi we use them, but onion makes food so sweet. And so when you fry it in the beginning, if you bite into onion that's not fried, it's delicious. I love it.
Mm.
But then when you bite into fried onion, you taste the sweetness more than in the fresh one. So the frying process, where we say fry until translucent or until it browns a little, that is to develop the sweetness in it. So when you have that, and a lot of onions, by the way, especially if you don't like to add seasoning, it gives you the sweetness. Mm-hmm. And in my house, we use shrimp powder in almost everything, well, except for my soups. Mm-hmm. I don't use. But if I'm making stew, it doesn't matter whether it's chicken or beef stew, I will add shrimp powder. I get insults for that. So I also made beef, chicken, and mushroom powder for vegetarians.
Mm.
Mushroom powder tastes like Maggi.
Really?
Oh, yes. Mm. Oh, absolutely. Wow, so, yes, the more you cook and, you know, experiment. you get to know these things. So the frying of the onions help you put less seasoning. Mm. But you can still put everything in to start. Mm-hmm. I've learned not to judge how people cook. Because years ago, I worked with this lady and she offered me food. I looked at it, I was like, oh. I'm not gonna enjoy it, right? And then I taste the food and I'm shocked. Mm. I'm 100% shocked. I'm like, what's in this? Another time I went to her house, she gave me rice and stew. I was like, oh, turkey stew. This is so good. I go home. I make my own turkey stew, didn't taste like that. And that's one thing about me. I called her, I said, you must teach me. I don't know what you put in. Yeah. So that's where I learned my spice blend. Mm-hmm. And then I learned that the tomato sauce that I used to make my stew, she used a different type. Mm-hmm. At times, we're too arrogant to ask. Yeah, me, when it comes to food, I'll disgrace myself here. Mm-hmm. What did you put inside? Forget I'm sweet ajele. I'm still learning.
Yeah, yeah. Dope.
So one of the questions, I think, we've had a few chefs on the show, and I keep asking this question. I want to get your thoughts on it. The history of food and cooking and recipe and all of that is such a sophisticated, I think, idea of culture and intelligence, right? Because a lot of times, certain groups of people can be classified as primitive or underdeveloped and all of that. But I look at the foods that we eat, like our palm nut soup, groundnut soup, a lot of our dishes, it requires layered processes. Mm-hmm. What is your understanding of that in general, where it comes from? Like, I am curious about why did they take the palm nut through that process to generate soup? What led to that? Like, you know, because the palm nut tree is there. You look at it, then you're like, I'm going to boil it. Mm-hmm. Then I'm going to pound it. Then I'm going to get the juice out and I'm going to do this. It's a lot to do. Mm-hmm. And it's also very complex in from the beginning product to the end product. Most foods are in general. As a chef or somebody who's loved doing what you do, do you have some sort of insight into maybe the evolution of it, how you think culturally we came about these recipes and all of that?
Okay, so as you were speaking, I thought about Kobe, right? Kobe is tilapia. Mm-hmm. Why put it through that process?
Preservation.
So now we have refrigerators. Why are we still using Kobe?
Flavor, it's...
So now you took something, you added salt to get out the moisture so that it doesn't go bad. Now you're using it and it's so salty, it doesn't even make any sense. But we still want that Kobe in that abomu that we're making. That is because, like you said, our ancestors have started it.
Yeah.
And now it is instilled in us.
Yeah.
That we know Kobe is not that healthy.
Yeah.
But now that, yes, now the flavor is stuck. Now, how they decided to make Kobe, because most of them, they go straight from the river
to the kitchen. Yeah.
So why not leave the tilapia in the water and go get it whenever you want?
Yeah.
It could be greed. Let me get more so the next person doesn't get. And now you have so much.
Yeah.
It's going bad. So now you decide, I'm going to put salt. And now you have Kobe. The one that's going bad now becomes more money.
Yeah.
So
wow.
Yeah.
That'd be true.
That'd be how momoni is made too.
Momoni, you technically have to let the fish begin to turn sour. Then you add, because otherwise you're not going to get the stink. That stench that you get from, and it makes the food taste good.
Yeah.
It's sick.
Yeah,
We are all sick, but we love it. Mm. And it started from preservation. Now we found a flavor in it that we're keeping. You know, so I can't tell how or why they decided to do something. Then we'll think about who thought about plaiting hair. But we're doing it. You know, so when it comes to food, like the palm, I have a recipe that I made with coconte. It has nothing to do with how we enjoy coconte. Once I post that video, I may get insults or I may get, wow, why didn't I think about that? And so because we're talking about it now, I've edited it, I'll post it.
Yeah, you have to, so I check it out.
And you need to check it out and you'll be like, coconte, what you never thought you could do with coconte, I just did.
So somewhat probably, I think what I'm taking from what you're saying is, you think it's a consequence of evolution. Like as the, it started as one thing.
Yes.
And then it led to another. And then as generations go by, it's like, well, why don't you add this? Or maybe in that same time. Okay, that makes sense.
Yeah, that makes
a lot of sense.
I think on your page too, I learned how to make this stew. Is this a zongo?
Yeah, the white stew.
And the process was quite long, but I did enjoy it, and I did learn a few tips from that. It just hit me, you know. And that's one video that I had to go back, watch back again, and go to the kitchen, go back, watch and it, and go to the kitchen. If you are to cook for, you are to cook a Ghanaian dish for someone to tell that person, that person isn't from Ghana, to tell, to give them what Ghana tastes like, what Ghana feels like, how Ghana is, what one dish would you cook for them and why?
So I would make yam with garden egg stew. I think it's the most delicious food in the world. That's my favorite. And so that's what I'll make for them. Because it's my favorite. And it has a flavor. I guess no other food have the same flavor. But I have a thing with yam. I love yam so much. I don't care how it's made, poton poto, whatever. So, but my favorite food of all time is yam with garden egg stew.
Mine is yam with contemporary stew.
So
my favorite.
And I love contemporary too, but I'll choose garden egg over contemporary any day. I don't know why. It just tastes so good to me.
And garden eggs are good too. My auntie made me some garden eggs stew 2 weeks ago because I was on doing the protein thing, and I ate the stew by itself. And I can sit there and eat contemporary by myself. I can eat without adding. But I love yam too. But nowadays it feels like yam, is it seasonal?
Yes,
it feels like it's so hard to get.
It's really expensive now.
Yeah, but what I've realized about yam nowadays is that it spoils early. Quickly. I don't know why. Yeah, like we'll try half out. Like once you use half,
it's probably the fertilizer and stuff.
It's quite strange. And when I was a kid, I didn't like garden eggs at all. But now it's my thing.
I put it
in soup. I use garden eggs for.
It's crazy. I think once we're aging and growing, we start to appreciate that. And then you also, if you are willing to take a risk about why didn't I like this thing, and then you try to get, actually it's not so. The one thing I haven't gotten brave enough to try is tuzafi.
Try it.
It's the best. Like
everybody's telling me, I can't get past the green slime.
I remember I made you slimy okra soup and you didn't enjoy it at all. So
I ate it, but I prefer to have the stew, the dry one.
You see, to lose the slime, you have to overcook the green. So then no nutrients.
But can we make it crunchy?
Maybe instead of going through what I'm going to make tozafi, maybe you should come in.
Okay.
Eat some.
Oh,
I'll try
that. This young lady. Justin. No, you are invited.
What one dish do you think you haven't gotten right yet? Is there any dish? Because you do everything so on point. So I'm wondering, like, is there that one dish where, you know?
I'm trying to think.
That means you do, Charlie. Back, back, like, back. You kill it.
Yeah. I always try my best. Yeah. But I can cook jollof today. It will taste better than the one I cook tomorrow.
Yeah,
so that one is different. Mm. But the one dish...
No.
There are Ghanaian dishes that I'm seeing that I didn't even know existed.
Mm.
And I didn't grow up in Ghana fully.
Yeah.
So, trying to think.
Yeah.
I've done kose. How's that koko? I'm thinking about the tough ones.
Yeah. How's that koko? I have no idea how it's done.
Hausa koko is when you grind the millet, you kind of mix it and soak it overnight. And then you pour the, when you is in a powder form and you mix it with water, you let it sit and you allow the millet to settle on the bottom. And then you decant the water that settles on top and they mix that with regular water and boil it.
Yeah.
And they don't mix the millet in while the fire is still underneath it.
Because
if the fire is underneath it, it spoils it.
Mm.
So that's the trick.
Wow.
It's tricky, but they've done it for so long.
So that's an interesting point to me, which I just want to chip. Those are the things that make me curious that. What was the process that led to that?
Yeah.
Like, how did they discover?
They probably did it on fire and realized a fake bubble. I don't know how to say, but it didn't give them the silky texture that they get if there's no fire underneath it. But you have to have the right temperature of water, because if your millet is too cold and the water isn't hot enough, the moment you mix it in, it's not properly cooked. It's very tricky.
But what gives it that spiciness anyway?
Oh, there's spices in it. Yeah. There's actual pepper in it.
Yeah. Oh, really?
Yeah.
And is that good for you?
Like, yeah.
Nice. Quite recently, I was in Tamale. Well, I go to Tamale a lot, so not quite recently.
The place is nice.
Yeah, I go to Tamale a whole lot. I've been saying that we should go one time.
He's supposed to let me know when he's going. But
no, Charlie, we have to go.
He calls me when he's there. Charlie, but you have no the call. So I want
to
go.
You know, yeah. We have to plan.
I want to go with somebody who has experience there so that I can really...
Just to chill out and...
Yeah, we do.
They have this dish there called wusa wusa or wasa wasa.
I've heard it. I don't know how.
If you don't prepare it in a way, or if you... The food starts to eat itself.
Hey.
Yes.
So it disappears.
Yeah, the food will start eating itself. I've forgotten what makes it do that. But yeah, if you expose it or if you, you know, the food will start eating itself, then everything
will... That's kind of scary.
That one, you could tell you, see, that'd be the... Yeah. My brother's in the north.
Yeah.
Showing you the powers. First of all, I want to say thank you very much. It was short notice and you came through for us. But for me personally, because you've always been my family, I discovered you through others, which was strange to me. Like, it was one day somebody told me, Sweet Ajili. I'm like, what are you guys, Sweet Ajili? I'm like, what's that? They're like, oh, this lady, she's cooking. And like,
wow.
The video got sent to me, I'm like, ah, that's my cousin. So then I hit her up, I'm like, but what's going on? And then Yvonne was like, ah, where have you been? She's a superstar. Blase blah. But I love your spirit. I love how open and giving you've always been.
Thank you.
My question, and I love your family. I think you've done an awesome job of being a mother and a wife. And I really always admire you from afar because you know where we come from. And we're not going to get into it. But what you've done inspires, you've stuck it out, you've raised your kids the right way, and I love you for it. But where do you see your vision? Where do you want to go with the brand that you built out of nothing, out of nowhere? It was never even a plan. So where do you see, what do you
want to manifest, if I put it that way? Not to be Gen Z-ish, but where do you see yourself going? Where do you want to go?
So he said something in the beginning about where he sees me. He sees brand ambassadorship all over. And
Boyaka.
I see myself coming to Ghana to stay, because me being in the US, so many brands reach out to me. But if, like I said the other day, if the amount you're offering me is not going to be able to pay for my light bill, then it's not worth it, you know? But if I'm in Ghana, then maybe I can drop down my rates. I end up promoting people's products for free because if they ask for the rates card, they run, you know? So, but I think once I'm in Ghana, I'm thinking about, even if I'm still cooking, I don't want to do it in my house. I want to have a studio. I want to do it outside. I need help to film, you know, to clean, to do all that. So that's what I'm doing now, I feel, is just a hobby. But when I come to Ghana, then I'll really get into it and maybe invite people and cook with them, or, you know, go to people's homes and cook with them. Whoever want to do that. So that's where I see myself. And then maybe from there, we can start going to the other countries. Yeah,
Charlie, you are money, media, media. You are money, media. I've seen it. Before Fred told me that you guys were cousins, I'm like, Charlie, this woman. Then Fred was like, I thought, oh, you were just, you know, throwing something around.
That's dope, your money. Blood.
Yeah.
We were dating ourselves in that Kojo Saadi outside.
Kojo Saadi.
And you know, mom also is her mom and my dad are cousins, obviously.
Mm. But best friends.
But they're the closest. Mm. Yeah.
Wow, that's dope. So maybe my last question to you is, so what other, I don't know how the name to give, but what other chefs or cooks who are online on YouTube do you admire, do you follow, have you linked up with anyone? Do you guys have a like union, a clique that, you know? Yeah.
So I follow all the chefs. Mm. I'm not that type that you follow me and then you keep commenting. I check you out. Finally, I'm like, oh, she's also cooking, I'll follow you. Right? So I appreciate all of them. I follow all of them. This young lady named Obapa's Kitchen, when I started, she was already there. She used to shout me out and push me. So I admire her a lot. Okay. When you go to Nigeria, there's Joyful Cook. We're very good friends. There's also Ify's Kitchen. She's a very good friend of mine. She even came to my 20th anniversary all the way from Nigeria, and I really appreciated her for that. I recently met Chef Abby, who's also doing very well. Mm. I mentioned her earlier. There are lots of other chefs that are doing so well, but there's another young lady. Hers is almost like comedy. She's Sweet Ohima. Mm. Sweet Ohima. She's also doing well. I also have Rosie's Kitchen. She's Nigerian. Boachua's Kitchen. She's also doing well. Well, she's taking a break to go back to school, but she posts every now and then. I'm trying to think. I don't want to leave anybody. See, mentioning names can put you in trouble.
But you said a good number of people. It just shows your appreciation for
everybody.
Diverse group of people doing well
in
that space.
And Charlie, that's dope. That's dope. I think we are through. Thank you, sweet Charlie, for coming through the podcast.
Yep. They have to take a photo. This time, Utu will send me the photo. I'll take send.
Chai guys, you guys, Charlie, I hope you guys are filled to the brim now. I hope you have been served. Sweet Ajele came through the podcast, someone I've been following on YouTube for a very, very, very long time here in flesh, and I have thoroughly enjoy this episode because I enjoy cooking, unlike Fred. Fred, what's up?
This is surreal for me. I've always loved Ajili. And I've always said that I'll try and get her on the show. But I know she's gracious and I've never wanted to impose on her time. But when we had lunch the other day and I said, she's like, oh yeah, we could do it. And I'm like, oh, it's only a couple of days. And he's like, oh, don't worry, just set it up. And that's when I hit you guys up. So cuz, I want to say that this was eye-opening for me on different levels to see the complexity of, you know, your persona. And I love listening to you. You inspire me. I appreciate you. And I just wish you the best, man. I know that we have a long journey to go. And we're just going to have each other's backs until the wheels fall off. So love you till the wheels fall off.
I love you too.
Yeah, Charlie. Yeah, well, they are doing their thing. Charlie, guys.
Maybe Joseph will bring you closer. It happens.
Charlie, so Fred, final episode for season six.
Look, guys, I know I say this quite often about this being a passion project and all of that, but we really put a lot of our heart and soul into bringing you episode after episode. And what excites me about our audience is every single season, it keeps getting
better.
But also I see that we are on so many more eyeballs. I went into a real estate event about 2 weeks. Actually, funny enough, if you were there, I was wearing the same outfit, so just different shoes and watch. But when I walked in there, bro, I don't do well with people coming up to me like that. But it was about six different people.
Oh wow, superstar.
It's like, hey, I watched the show. And it was getting weird. The guy was like literally on me. And shout out to you. I'm not saying it in an awkward way if you watch this. I love that you are able to come up and say, but I'm like, what's happening? And then everybody around me is looking at me and I'm like, oh, I have a podcast and I kind of have to explain myself. Mm-hmm. But it tells me that we're doing something right. I say all that to say this. I feel like we're doing something right. I feel like we're here to stay. And like Otobo said in the beginning, till the wheels fall off. I mean, I don't plan to go anywhere. And shout out to Atunwa. I mean, in the beginning, it felt like it was tough, but we pulled it together. And I've enjoyed season six. I'm looking forward to season seven quite a bit. We're going to take our short break. I think we're ready to even step it up and do better. So yeah,
more live shows. I can see more live shows coming up, you know, and...
Yeah, we really enjoyed the live show. Yeah, that was
Good as well. Yeah. I have to put the full video out though.
Yeah.
Yeah, more live shows and more dope, you know, guests like Nah Ajele. Hey, sweet Ajele. Charlie, without further ado, follow, subscribe, you know, tell a friend to tell their uncles and their mothers to check out the If More Let's Divide podcast. So yeah, season six, the If More Let's Divide podcast. Fred,
Booyaka.
We are out.
Nice. This is the If More Let's Divide podcast.